going to God's word. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this evening that there is clarity. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this evening. Truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, so we'll just continue along the line in which we started a few weeks ago. And we've been dealing with the topic concerning spirituals. We have been dealing with the utterance part of the gifts of the Spirit. We paid attention to the power gift over the Bible seminar. And we are just going to pay attention to the utterance gift in the next few hours here and possibly the next few weeks. If you have your Bibles, I would like you that you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. Or should we go to Romans? Okay, let's see 1 Corinthians 12. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, Paul writes to a church and he says to them, he says, now concerning spirituals, yeah, we established that the word their gift is in Italic, so it's most likely now concerning spirituals. Brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Yeah, we said the word there concerning is a word that deals with pertaining or concerning or with regards to or with reference to. Yeah, so he says, now with reference to spirituals. Now, the word there, spirituals, is a word gotten from two words that, you know, pneuma and tikos. Yeah, pneuma is the Greek word for, you know, the spirit, and tikos has to do with, you know, a learning or rather the things that pertain to, you know, a thing. So pneumatikos is things of the spirit. Yeah, the things of the spirit. So why do you suppose that Paul is writing to a church that now concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant? I would not have you ignorant means I wouldn't want you to remain in the dark. Well, I wouldn't want you, or you shouldn't remain in that. The word they're ignorant is a word that deals with, you know, willfully, you know, despising knowledge or shunning knowledge or choosing to remain in the dark. Why do you suppose he says that? It is because every man who has believed the gospel is a spiritual man, is a man full of the spirit. And there are things, in fact, hold your hands in 1 Corinthians and go to Romans 6. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans chapter 6. Verse 3, the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Let's see what Paul says there. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Romans 6, 3. See what it says. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Look at verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Dear saints, you and I know that you were not alive, you were not physically alive when Jesus was on earth. Yeah, when Jesus was crucified, you and I were not alive. But see what Paul says. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Yeah, so what raised Christ from the dead? The glory of the Father. Yeah, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5, it says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. 6 now says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the bodies of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Say, if we be dead with Christ, we shall also live with him. Yeah, look at verse 9. It says, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Yeah, death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lived unto God. Likewise, that's what we're going to verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul makes you see something in Romans chapter 6, verse 11. He says, likewise, reckon ye also that we are alive unto God. Yeah, so it means that a man who believes the gospel is alive unto God. A man who believes the gospel is alive unto God. See what Paul told them in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 12, but we're trying to visit Romans 6. Now, see Romans 1, verse 16. Look at Romans 1, 6. You must have read Romans chapter 1, verse 16 before you get to Romans 6, verse 11. Yeah, look at what Paul says in Romans 1, 16. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew and also to the Greek. So the power of God, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to come alive. Yeah, so when you believe the gospel, you've received the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, that means you've received the power of God to be alive, to be someone recognized or to be baptized into his being alive. Yeah, so for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yeah, so never forget that what made you alive unto God is that power of God unto salvation, which is the power of God that quickened us. Are we together? Yeah, look at it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Look at Romans 5. Yeah, you must have read Romans 5 before you get to Romans 6. Look at Romans 5. Yeah, so look at Romans 5, 1. You know, Paul tells you that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul tells you in Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. Yeah, so we are justified by faith. Being justified by faith is equal to coming alive by the power of the gospel. Yeah, the power of God is the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God, by implication, makes us justified by faith. We have peace. So we have peace means we are alive unto God. Yeah, we are alive unto God. We are alive unto God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6 of Romans 5. For where we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Look at verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet dead. Yeah, when you see while we were yet dead, while we were yet sinners, we really mean while we were yet dead in sins, while we were yet without strength in sins, while we were yet dead in sins, God commended his love to us towards us, that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we are saved from the wrath through him. Hallelujah. Yeah, look at it. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. So reconciled to God by the death of his son means we are justified, means we have peace with God. That is, we have received of the power of God. So the power of God unto salvation is the gospel. When you receive the gospel, it means you have come alive. Yeah. So now go to chapter 6. Look at verse 11. 6:11. He now says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but alive unto God. So it means that we can never stop being alive unto God. Why can we never stop being alive unto God? Because of the work of Christ. It tells you we are alive unto God through the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So our aliveness unto God is because Jesus is alive. Yeah, we can say it better. Jesus' aliveness is a proof of our aliveness. Let's assume there's a word like that. Yeah, the fact that Jesus is alive is a proof that we are alive unto God. It means we are justified by faith. That is, we have peace with God. So, by his work, through the work of Christ, we have life. Yeah, so if he's alive, we are alive. Yeah, so if he's alive, we are alive. Paul tells you first in Romans 6, verse 3, he says, but know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we looked at it on Sunday, the word baptism there means to deal with someone being identified or deals with being identified with something. Yeah, so if I hold your hands there, look at 1 Corinthians, go to that 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 12, we're in Romans 6, yeah, we're in 1 Corinthians 10, just to see something quickly. See something quickly in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. You see, Paul was dealing with a lot of ignorance to the church in Corinth. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all through the sea and all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud. It means they identified with Moses, his person and his doctrine. Yeah, they were all baptized unto Moses. Go back to Romans 6. Yeah, so they were baptized unto Moses. What did Paul tell you? Yeah, he says, we are baptized into his death. We are baptized into Jesus. So their fathers were baptized into Moses. We are baptized into Jesus. Yeah, we are baptized into Jesus. By implication, it means we have come alive. By implication, it means that we have peace with God. Yeah, so look at verse 11. Paul now says what? Or look at verse 4 so first. He says, verse 4 says, therefore, we are buried with him by the baptism into death. Yeah, that means we partook of his death. We identify with his death. Yeah, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So imagine if you put someone into water, if you put someone into sand, for instance, yeah, it means that you are identified with sand. So you are baptized with sand means you are identified with sand. Yeah, the word, see, it tells you again in verse 4, it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism. Yeah, we identify with his death, we identify with his burial, now we identify with his resurrection. Yeah, look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together will mean baptized into, that is, identified with. So, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, his resurrection is proof that we are alive. Yeah, so it is not confession leading to possession. You know, the word might tell you, let me say the word, yeah. So we can say your confession can lead to your possession. But in this case, it is your possession that leads to your confession. Yeah, it is not when you say, I want to be alive, or so what makes you alive unto God is his resurrection, not what you say, not your confession. What makes you alive is believing in his resurrection. So we are already alive unto God. How did Paul tell you in verse 11? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So everything God wants us to do, we are able to do. Why? Because we are alive unto him. Why? Because we are at peace with him. Are we together? Yeah. So being alive is not in our feelings. Being alive is not in goosebumps. Yeah. Look at what he says. He says, likewise, reckon ye also. Reckon ye also. So even when you are sleeping at night, you are alive unto God. You are at peace with God. You can never not be at peace with God. Yeah, a Christian cannot become more alive as he is on the day of his of believing the gospel. Now, Paul already told us in chapter 1 of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 of Romans, that what? He says what? The power of God is unto salvation. That is the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is the power of God to come alive. So the moment you believe the gospel, he says, to whoever believeth. So whoever believeth has come alive. Whoever believed has been baptized into Christ. It means you have identified with his death, his burial, and by extension, his resurrection. Paul now tells you in verse 11, he says, likewise, reckon. You see, the word here, reckon, means to acknowledge, to take into cognizance. So, likewise, take into cognizance ye also of yourselves to be dead into sin, indeed unto sins, but alive unto God. So, we are dead indeed unto sins, but we are alive unto God. So, we say spiritual things are real to us because we are alive unto God. So, we say, I can operate in the things of the Spirit because I'm alive unto God. You can never be dead to God. Yeah, a man who believes the gospel has received the power of God. Paul tells you, it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. So, we say that the things of the Spirit are real to me. Paul told them in 1 Corinthians 12, he says what? Concerning spirituals, I would not have you ignorant. Yeah, so it means that one can be alive unto God, but not know. One can be alive unto God and not take note of that. Yeah, remember we looked at something during our seminar. We said that all the miracles that Jesus performed should point our attention to the miracle of resurrection. So all miracles point to the miracle. The miracle of resurrection is the end goal. All other miracles are signs. Yeah, signs are pointers. Yeah, so the new birth in itself is a miracle. Yeah, we have come alive. So we are in the miracle of that resurrection. We are partakers of that miracle of resurrection. It means we are alive unto God. So it means that you can wake up tomorrow and not feel it. Hallelujah. It means that you can sleep this night and not feel it. But you are alive. But Paul says what? Reckon. Take this into account. Yeah, it's Sure Banker. Take it anywhere you are going to. Put your attention to it. Acknowledge. Yeah, and so it means that as saints, we are to perpetually reckon, that is, we are to perpetually acknowledge all that Jesus done to make us alive. So all that Jesus did, he has done it once. It is good. It is perfect. The work Jesus did as an eternal savior is a supply of an eternal what? Rest. We looked at that on Sunday. Yeah, which we'll pay attention to that again today. Yeah. So the work of Jesus is perfect. The work of Jesus is good. The work of Jesus is excellent. The work of Jesus was done once and forever. Yeah. So you cannot improve on your aliveness. Why? Because you cannot improve on the work of Jesus. You can only increase in your knowledge of your being alive, but you cannot increase in being alive. Yeah. Paul tells you, likewise reckon ye also that yourselves you are dead indeed unto sins, but you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you can increase in persuasions. You can increase in convictions. You can increase in understanding. But your persuasions, your convictions, your understanding, your acknowledging does not make you more alive. Yeah. Your increase in knowledge, your increase in persuasion only makes you more aware. Guess it. Follow. Yeah, follow attentively, please. Yeah, your increase in knowledge, your increase in understanding doesn't make you more alive. Why? Because you cannot be more alive than you were the day you believed the gospel. So it means that if you can do something to the Lord, you can do something about your being alive. It means that you cannot do anything to what Jesus has done. See it again. Likewise, reckon ye also, acknowledge ye also of yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins, but you are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You are alive unto God. So through Jesus, it is not on your confession. It is not through your confession. Remember, it is your possession before your confession. Your possession leads to your confession. What do you possess? You possess a reality of being alive. You possess a reality of having the indwelling of the Spirit. So if you cannot do anything to our Lord, you cannot do anything to our being alive. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. If you cannot do anything, if you can, for someone to do something to your being alive to God, he has to do something to the work that Jesus did. So what is my guarantee? What is my surety that I can participate in the things of the Spirit? It is because I am alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I am born of the Spirit. You are born of the Spirit. Yeah, it means, see, what does it mean to be born of the Spirit? It means we are brought forth by the work of the Spirit. It means that we are brought forth by the work of Jesus. By implication, we have the indwelling of the Spirit. So it means that when a saint wakes up in the morning and doesn't feel he is alive, what should he do? Paul says, reckon also with yourself. Bring to your full consciousness, because it is possible you don't always feel alive. Are we together? It is possible you don't always feel like you are born of the Spirit. It is possible that you don't always feel you are connected to God. But guess what, dear saints? The moment you believe, the moment you receive the power of God unto salvation, it means you are connected to God. He told us in chapter 5, we have peace. We are justified. We have peace. So it means that we are connected to the almighty power. Yeah, so you say almighty God in the real sense, almighty power. There's no power that is powerful than his power. So the moment you have received the gospel, you are alive unto almighty God. That is, you are alive unto almighty power. So it means that you are born of the Spirit perpetually forever, ever and ever and ever and ever. You are constantly in his being alive. By application, you are alive unto God. See it again. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So the work that Jesus did was to guarantee that we will be alive unto God forever. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. The work of Jesus is to guarantee, is to be our surety that what we were, hold your hands in Romans. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah? The work of Jesus is to guarantee that we will forever be with peace with God, that is, we'll be alive unto God. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 13. Yeah, look at Ephesians 1 verse 13. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? Paul tells us in Romans 6, 1 verse 16, the gospel of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is the word of truth. That is, look at Paul now tells you in Ephesians 1 13, the gospel of your salvation. Listen very well. Paul said Ephesians 1 verse 13, the word of truth, that is the gospel of your salvation. The same Paul tells us in Romans, that gospel of your salvation, that gospel of your Christ Jesus, or the gospel of whom or in whom you trusted, is the power of God to save, is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, in whom also after that he believed. Remember, Paul tells you in Romans 1:16, to them that believe. So in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Yeah, you were sealed means that you have a surety, you have a guarantee. Yeah, which is the, it tells you in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Yeah, which is the proof, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So the work of Christ, the work of Jesus on earth, was to create or to give us a surety, a guarantee that we are alive unto God. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at Ephesians 2 verse 1. Oh, glory to God. Ephesians 2 verse 1. It says, and ye had he quickened who were dead in trespasses. Now, we are not dead in trespasses. Now, a Christian is not dead in trespasses. A Christian is not dead in sins. A Christian might fall short and commit sins here and there, but he is not dead in, look at it again. It says, ye, remember, Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon ye also that you are dead indeed unto sins. Paul tells you in Ephesians 2, ye had he quickened who were dead. So, you were dead, now he has quickened. So, we were once dead, now we are squeaking. Look at verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even where we were dead in sins, we were. So, being in reference to sin for the believer is something that we were dead in sins. Now, we are dead unto sins. Now, before we were dead in sins, we are dead unto sins, but now alive. So, look at verse 5 again. Even when we're dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. He had quickened us. What does it mean to quicken? He made us come alive. How do we know? Look at verse 6. He had raised us up together. That means we have come alive together as a result of his work. We are together. We are identified with his resurrection. Are we together? Look at it again. He says, we were dead in sins. He had raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works. Remember, Romans now tells you, we are alive unto God through the work of Christ, our Lord. He tells you in Ephesians, we are his workmanship, created in Christ. Yeah, we are his workmanship means we are the product of his work. Yeah, Jesus is the workman who did the work and created us to be his workmanship. Yeah, we are the product of that work, the work of resurrection. Yeah, we are his workmanship. Look at verse 18. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory, glory. Look at verse 17. Oh, glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. In fact, look at verse 15. Oh, look at verse 14. Oh, if I look at verse 13. Look at verse 13 quickly. Look at verse 13. Oh, if I look at verse 12. Yeah, look at verse 12. That at that time ye were without Christ. Yeah, Romans 5 tells us what? We were without strength. So being without strength in Romans 5 is being without Christ. Yeah, we're being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Yeah, that is strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, but are without God in this world, and without strength. It was when we were without strength that Christ died for us. Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, yeah, we were far off in verse 1, it tells you we were dead in sins. We were dead in sins means we were far off. Now, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ, by the work of Christ, by the resurrection of Christ. For he is our peace. Remember, we are justified by faith, Romans 5:1, we are with peace, we are at peace with God. Yeah, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Look at verse 17, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off. Yeah, so the gospel that you receive is the gospel of God's peace. Yeah, the gospel that you receive is the gospel of Christ, that is the power of God unto salvation. Yeah, it is in the fact that we have now come alive by believing the gospel or the work of the gospel. the message of the gospel. And he said, and verse 17, came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. Look at verse 18. For through him, hallelujah, for through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:11. So for through him, yes, we both have access. Yeah, we are at peace by one spirit unto the Father. So the work of Jesus was to guarantee that we will be at peace with our God. The work of Jesus, the assignment of Jesus on earth was to create or give a guarantee, an assurance. Paul tells us, the earnest of our inheritance. Hallelujah. So through him, we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers. Ye are no more strangers. You are not one who is without strength. Yeah. To be without strength means you were a stranger. To be a stranger means you were once far off. To be once far off means you were dead in sins. Are you following? Yeah. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners. But what? Fellow citizens with the saints, hallelujah, and of the household of God, and of the household of God. Verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. So for you to house God, you have to be alive unto God. Only a living temple can house God. Hallelujah. Only a living temple can house God. Yeah, only a living temple can house life. Yeah, to be alive, God did his work in the work of the Son, in the work of Christ. We now come alive to be an habitation of God through his Spirit. Now, where we are, Romans. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6:11. See what Paul tells you. Now, likewise, reckon ye also to yourselves to be dead indeed unto sins. We were once far off, now we are brought near. But alive unto God, Ephesians tells us what? We are raised up together with Christ, seated in the heavenlies. So what are we to do? We are to reckon. What are we to do? We are to reckon. What are we to do? We are to reckon. It means that as in the same way Paul told the Corinthians, now concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. It means a good way to say that is, now concerning spirituals, I will want you to reckon that you are alive unto God. Yeah, I want you to acknowledge. Yeah, because to acknowledge could be the opposite of what? Not acknowledging. So what were they not doing? They were not choosing to remain in the dark. Hallelujah. So look at their saints. When you pray and you flow, it is because you are becoming more aware, or it is that you are becoming more aware of your being alive. Let me say it again. Yeah. When you speak in tongues, when you come among saints, yeah, remember, every saint is alive unto God. It means that everything or the gifts of the Spirit has been received upon coming alive. Are we together? Think about it this way. You know, when you give birth to a child, or when you raise the dead, think about raising the dead. Imagine a dead man on the bed and he's dead. Obviously, he's a dead man. And you raise him back to life. At the point when he was dead, yeah, his hand will not move. His head will not move. His leg will not move. His stomach cannot eat. His stomach cannot digest. But if you bring him back to life, what happens? All parts of his body become functional. Yeah? What is Paul saying? There's a tendency for you to have come alive and you still have a mindset of being dead. What did Paul say? Reckon. So what Paul is talking to that man who you rose from the dead, and he's telling you, acknowledge that you are alive. In the fact that when you think of your being alive, try to move your hand, you see it, you move. Try to move your leg, you see it, you move. Try to pick a spoon and put food in your mouth, you see that your body will receive it. Why? Because you are acknowledging that you are alive. He says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sins, but alive. So acknowledging the things that you can do with your body after they rose from the dead just makes you flow better or makes you do things better. Same way, acknowledging your being alive enhances your flow in the things of the Spirit. So, we are dealing with concerning spirituals this month. Yeah, one thing that should be at the forefront of your mind anytime you want to operate in any of the gifts is, I'm alive. I'm alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. So, it means that a man who is alive unto God is a man who has believed the gospel of Christ. That is, he has received the power of God unto salvation. That means he has been quickened. That means he is no longer far off. That means he's now a habitation for God. Yeah. So, it means that there are people who are breathing in and out beside you, close to you, but yet they are dead unto God. Hey, but you are alive. Yeah, so what is the message of the gospel? Come and be alive unto God. Come and be alive unto God. He says, how do you be alive? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the Lordship of Jesus Christ is our assurance. Yeah, are we together? So I can do the things of the Spirit because He's alive. I can do the things of the Spirit because I'm alive. I can do the things of the Spirit because God lives in me. I can do the things of the Spirit because Spirit lives in me. Hallelujah. So likewise, reckon, dear saints, acknowledge, reckon. Yeah. So when you come, if you are listening to me right now over the phone and you don't speak in tongues, yeah, what is Paul saying? Recognize, acknowledge, I'm alive unto God. And just realize, you realize that in the faculty of your being alive, that is the indwelling of the Spirit, there's an ability to speak. Speak with what? Tongues. Okay, go to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Remember in 1 Corinthians 12, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 39. Yeah, Paul says, he says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. You see, the word there, brethren, is like I said on Sunday, is the Greek word adelphos. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Now, it means people of the same source, people from the same origin. So, it means that there is a commonality. There is something that is common. Yeah? There is something that is common to them. So, it means, when it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Now, hold your hands there. So, that brethren there, is it going to be only me? Nope. Brethren is not like the way you use bro today. Bro and sis. Brethren encompasses both bro and sis. Yeah, so brothers and sisters, Paul called them brethren. How do you know? In the previous verses, in previous chapters, he has spoken about women. Look at verse 34. We looked at this on Sunday. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Yeah, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Go to chapter 11 quickly. Go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. Look at chapter 11, verse 4. Look at chapter 11, verse 4. Chapter 11, verse 4. Paul already acknowledges in chapter 11, verse 4, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth and prophesieth, so it means that women can pray and prophesy. Yeah, so forget about all the grammar. I'm sure we've done an explanation to 1 Corinthians 11 before. Don't put your attention on the covering of hair or not covering of hair. In verse 5, every woman that prays, so women can pray and prophesy. So go back to verse 14, chapter 14, verse 39. 13, verse 49. We looked at that, let your women keep silence to be about wives, because it speaks about the husbands in verse 35. Yeah, we looked at that on Sunday. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So, brethren will be what? Those of you that are of the same source. What is the source? Being born of water, that is the Spirit. Yeah, where did I get that from? John chapter 3. Yeah, for a man to be born again, for a man cannot see the kingdom of God except he's been born again. What does it mean to be born again? To be born of water, that is born of the Spirit. So being born of water, that is born of the Spirit, means you are coming alive unto God. It means that you are at peace with God. What did he say? Wherefore, brethren? So brethren is those of you who have a commonality. What is the commonality? The Spirit. Covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. You see, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is speaking particularly about order among saints in the church. So it means that when you see a believer operate in any gift of the Spirit, what do you say? Bro? Bro? That's my brother. That's my brother. That is my brother. So in saying that is my brother, you are saying that he is alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. Did you get that? Did you get that? Yeah? You come among saints. You see one speaking in tongues. You see one give a word of knowledge. You see one give a word of wisdom. Yeah? What do you say? Bro? Yeah? That's my brother. Yeah? Adelphos, in case you like Greek words. Yeah? That is my Adelphos. You can't be talking like that. That is my bro. That is my brother. See, by acknowledging he is your brother, you are subconsciously acknowledging that you have the same origin. What made him who he is as a saint is what made who you are as a saint. There is a commonality, indwelling of the Spirit. There is something he has that you have. See, at that point when you've never given a word of knowledge in your life, don't think of how he has something you don't have. Think of what he has that you have, which is what? You are brethren. You are the same source. Think about it this way. You know, sometimes then, A lot of us, when we travel out of the country, and we go to a city where it's only filled of so many people that are not our skin color. You see, you know, in an environment where it's only the whites. Yeah, you're the only black person in the environment. Yeah, and one day, after like 3-6 months, you see one black brother. Yeah, and what do you say? Hey, that's my brother. Yeah, it now becomes interesting when you now realize you are from the same country. Oh, my goodness, you're from Nigeria. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, so you see, there's a relaxation that will bring to you. That is the same way when you see a saint, a fellow saint, who has a commonality with you, or operates in any gift of spirit. That should be what it brings to your heart. It should bring sweetening. It should bring warmth to your heart, because you have the same source. You have the same origin. You want to say source, but might be a blood brother. But you know, for instance, you see some Yoruba people, when they see their Yoruba counterparts in foreign lands, what do they say? There's something they say, Omoyami. Yeah, Omoyami is the Greek way of saying that's the child of my mother. Let's assume that's Greek. Yeah, it means you might not have necessarily have been to the same, you might not have never have seen yourself in your life. The same thing with the things of the spirit. You come to a church and you might never have seen a brother operate in any gifts of the spirit. What do you say? Ah, that's my brother. Ah, that's my sister. Ah, that's my Adelphos. Yeah, because we have the same origin, we have the same commonality, we are together, we are one. What he has, I have. What he can do, I can do, because he's alive unto God and I'm alive unto God. Hallelujah. So in his being alive unto God, he is doing what he's doing. In my being alive unto God, I can do what he's doing. I said all of that to say this. Paul says, covet to prophesy. The word there, covet, is the word zelo. Yeah, Z-E-L-O-O. Z-E-L-O-O. The word covet, yeah? Wherefore, brethren, so wherefore, those of you that are of the same source, the same commonality, born of the Spirit, that is born of water, that is born of God, that is a habitation for God's Spirit, yeah? He says, covet to prophesy. The word here, covet, is the word that, you know, by extension, what you call covetousness. So it means that there's a place as a believer where you can be covetous. Yeah, the word there, zelo, is a word that means to burn with zeal or to burn with desire. Yeah, I'll say it again. Yeah, zelo, to covet, yeah? It means to burn with zeal, to desire something earnestly. Yeah, to zealously sought after something. Yeah, so Paul says, wherefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Desire. Say, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet, desire to prophesy. Desire earnestly. Be zealous. Be zealous after prophecy. Why do you suppose he expects you to be zealous after prophecy? So that you can bring edification to the saints. Go back to verse 3. Look at verse 3. 1 Corinthians 14:3. 1 Corinthians 14:3. I hope you're learning something here today. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:3. He says what? But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. So it means that prophecy brings edification, exhortation, and comfort. Yeah, you see that? He that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification. Yeah, so when he says covet prophecy, it means that desire to bring edification, desire to bring exhortation, desire to bring comfort to the saints, to the church. Look at verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesied edifies the church. The word there, edify, we look at it on Sunday, oikadomio, something like that. Yeah, it deals with strengthening up or to build up. So he that prophesied buildeth up the church. What does build up the church mean in verse 3? You edify, you exhort, you comfort. So go back to verse 39. Go back to verse 39. Verse 39. Verse 39. Verse 39. Verse 39. Look at verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, desire to bring edification. Yeah, did I read that well? What did I do? I brought in the analogy or the goal of prophecy in verse 3 and verse 4 and imputed into verse 39. So, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, desire earnestly to prophesy. Wherefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. So, in the things of the Spirit, there's a permission to be covetous. Let's assume that's a word there. Yeah? But pastor, you know, I was born into a Muslim family. You know, pastor, my son name is even still Muslim. Yeah, what family do you speak of? Yeah, he told you brethren. The moment he says brethren, it means that your attention should leave your earthly fatherhood, your earthly family, your earthly parentage, and see of God's parentage. Yeah, you must see yourself as one brought alive, brought forth by the what? Parenting of God, by the work of the Spirit. So, Look at it. When you come among saints, what do you recognize? Bro, brethren, I'm alive unto God. The way you are alive unto God is the way I'm alive unto God. Yeah? So what do? I desire earnestly. I look forward. So it means that Paul is saying that we are of a family. We have a new source right now. Your father might have been Shango worshiper. Your father might have been a Muslim. Your father might have been an atheist. But the moment you have believed the gospel, what happens? You have come alive. The moment you have come alive, you have other brothers and sisters around you who have come alive. Those are other saints. So Paul says what? We have a new source. We have a new origin. Yeah? He says, wherefore, brethren, convert to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Look at the end goal of what, why I was saying all those things. Let all things be done decently and in what? Order. Yeah? So, forbid not to speak in tongues. It means that the people can forbid to speak in tongues. Okay, go to Mark. Go to Mark. Mark. Go to Mark quickly. Go to Mark 16. Go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Oh, glory to God. Mark 16. Look at Mark 16, 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world and remember, this is a submissive statement or these are submissive statement from a 40 days teaching. So go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. Yeah, so remember, we read Romans 6, verse 3 to 11. And what does it mean to be baptized? It means that we are identified with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. What did Paul say we should do about that? We should reckon. We should acknowledge. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. Baptized into what? Not water. Not, it can never be water. Jesus cannot ask us to go and dip in ourselves into water because we are baptized into him. So he that is, remember, when we read 1 Corinthians 10, when it says, for your fathers were baptized unto Moses. Is it that Moses opened their stomach? You know, Moses wasn't doing water baptism now. Yeah, the practice of that started with, you know, with John. So he that believeth that is baptized is saved, shall be saved. That's when you preach. But he that believeth not shall be dead. So he that believeth is he that is baptized. Baptized into what? He says we are baptized into his death, into Jesus Christ, that is baptized into his work, by extension his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So what is baptism? Believing. Yeah? So when you believe, that means you are baptized. So when you believe, that means you are partaking of his baptism. That means you have identified with his work. So I am baptized into the one who is the message or who the message is about. What is the message? The message of reconciliation, the message of peace. So we preach the gospel. Anyone who believes is what? Baptized into Jesus. Now identified with Jesus. So once you believe the gospel, you are now identified with Jesus. What did Romans tell you? Romans 6:11. You are now alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So Romans tells us we have now identified with his death and his resurrection, and by default, we are what? Alive. So in our brotherhood, our saint brethren, yeah, in our aliveness, there's an ability. How do we know? This sign shall follow them that believe. So you can read Mark 16 and say, this sign shall follow them that are alive. Are we here, dear saints? Are we here, dear saints? This sign shall follow them that believe. To believe means you are baptized in verse 16. To be baptized means to come alive unto God. So all these signs shall follow them that are alive unto God through Jesus Christ, their Lord. So the moment you believe the gospel, you are alive unto God. The moment you hear the gospel and you believe it, you have come alive. You have, it says from Ephesians 2, you had he quickened who were dead. We were once dead by his riches in mercy. Who is rich in mercy? God who is rich in mercy, he died for us. We are now alive. So by being alive, it means we have believed. It means that in my name, there are signs that will follow. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So casting out of devils and speaking with new tongues are abilities of being alive. You see, just like that dead man who rose back to life, and he has an ability because of the life in him to raise his hand. One of the abilities you have is to cast out devils. One of the abilities you have is to speak with new tongues. Are we here, dear saints? Yeah, let me say it again. There's an ability inherent in being alive. There's an ability inherent in the power of God unto salvation. That is the gospel. Yeah, he says, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall speak with new tongues. We saw on Sunday, the word there new points your attention to the subject matter. So, I would say that it's similar to other tongues in Acts 2:4. And by extension means that a language that is not, that doesn't have an evolution. Tongue is not an evoluted Yoruba. Tongue is not an advanced or a polished Hebrew language. No, tongues is not polished Igbo. Tongues is a language of the Spirit. It's an ability of the Spirit. It is an ability that is inherent in one who is alive unto God. He says, this sign shall follow them that are alive unto God. By being alive unto God, they can cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So, it means that we preach the gospel, one believes it, he becomes baptized into Christ. That is, he becomes identified with his work, but that means he is now justified. It means that he is at peace with God. It means that he is alive unto God. Oh, glory to God. So, why don't people speak in tongues? A lot of people don't speak in tongues because they don't know how alive they are unto God. They don't know that which is inherent in being alive. Are we together? Yeah, look at it again. And these signs, so, look at it. Look at this. Look at verse 16. Let's do a quick Gospel Acts translation in verse 16. Yeah. He that believeth and is baptized. So he that believeth that is baptized is saved. You can say it this way. He that believeth comes alive. Or he that believeth that is baptized comes alive. He said means what? Comes alive. The power of God unto salvation. God's saving ability. It means God's saving ability is his ability to raise from the dead. Hallelujah. Yeah. He raised from which kind of dead? Dead in sins. You get that, yeah? Science pointed to the reality. So, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, shall come alive. So, he that believeth not shall be damned. It means that he that believeth not shall remain dead. In where? In sins. And this sign shall follow them that have come alive. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with tongues. Because new tongues is an ability of one who has come alive. Think about this way. The dead man that he was on, that was dead, who he rose back to life. At the point when he was dead, yeah, there's a faculty of speaking that was not activated. Yeah, but now that he has come alive, the faculty of speaking has what? Been activated. So the way he can move his hand, the way he can move his leg, the way he can do other things to his body is the same way what? The abilities you can do now because you are alive unto God. Yeah, go back to 1 Corinthians 14. So, wherefore, brethren, can we, wherefore, those of you who have come alive, yeah, convert to prophesy, desire earnestly to prophesy. So, and it says, and forbid not to speak with tongues. So it means that what? People can forbid to speak in tongues. You can either forbid by saying it word for word. You can either forbid in your knowledge or someone else. Yeah? 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 So you, someone can say, you can't speak in tongues until a spirit jumps upon you. So look at it. So a Christian can look at another Christian and say, don't speak in tongues yet until the Spirit of God comes upon you. What just happened? One who is full of the Spirit is telling another one who is full of the Spirit not to do the things that he's already full of, or not to express abilities of the things he's already full of. Yeah, see, remember, Paul had already addressed a lot of very interesting conversations in Corinth. In fact, he has already spoken about the brother who was partaking in a sin of having to, you know, sleep with his father's wife. You know, he spoke about what he called the communion table when there was selfishness. You know, so Corinth had lots of issues upon issues. They were not walking in love. Some of them will come to church, they will get drunk, others don't have anything to eat, and they die. To the same people, what does he say? Covet. So it means that your coveting is not as a reward or should not be in reference to what you do or what you don't do, but your being alive. Your being able to prophesy and to speak in tongues is not a matter of what you do or what you don't do. See, he had addressed issues that were already happening in Corinth. Yet he told them what? Wherefore, those of you born of the same womb, yeah, that is born of the Spirit, covet, desire earnestly to prophesy. Yeah, so the things that you are to covet, they are from inside of you. Yeah, your actions might not tally with you being alive unto God. But it says, covet, forbid not to speak with tongues. So it means no matter the condition, you should not forbid a Christian not to speak in tongues. Do you understand? You see, in our day and time, you see some people who might have gone through challenges or gone through, you know, scandals and things like that, and they come on the altar, for instance, maybe a pastor, and they come on the altar and he speaks in tongues. When you say, look at him, he's speaking in tongues. He's speaking in tongues because he's alive unto God. Your speaking in tongues is not as a function of what you did or did not do. It is because you have believed, that is baptized, that is you have come alive. And because you can never die, the ability of the Spirit already in you, yeah, is what? Something that is to be given expression to. Yeah, it is always there. You can never be dead to God. You are always alive, perpetually, constantly, perfectly, continuously alive unto God. So he says covet. He says covet. So coveting is the desire that brings forth the flow. Yeah, so look at it. If you're speaking in tongues right now, yeah, look at this. Very simple. Yeah, you don't say, what if I'm blaspheming? We looked at that on Sunday. You can lay your hands on that teaching. I explain what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is, and it's not about speaking in tongues. Yeah, you don't say, what if it's not correct? But I'm saying the same thing over and over again. But it's the same thing over and over. Let me ask you a question. When somebody asks you in the morning, good morning, how are you doing? What do you say? I am fine. Don't you say I'm fine over and over every day, almost every day of your life? Do you get that? Yeah. When somebody asks you, when somebody tells you good morning, don't you say good morning? Do you go to a place for the first time? The first day they tell you good morning, you say good morning. Second day they tell you good morning, you say good morning. After 3 weeks they tell you good morning, you say good morning. After like 4 weeks you now come and say, but I'm saying the same thing every day now. I'm saying, no. That's like tongues. Yeah. So instead of placing your ability on your repetition of what you are saying, what do you place your ability on? You desire to flow. Yeah. You're coveting. You have a covetous heart. Yeah. If you know any believer on earth who has spoken in tongues before, covet it. Look forward to it. Why? Because he is a brethren or a brother like you, having the same origin, having the same source. So don't dissipate your energy trying to question the things you don't have. Yeah, but what? Desire earnestly. Look forward to it. Desire earnestly. Just flow in the Spirit. Just flow in the Spirit. Yeah? See, look at it. It's like water board. Water board supplies water to your house. Yeah? But water doesn't always flow in your house. Glory to God. Yeah? Do you get that? Yeah? There is always water supplied to your house by water board. But water doesn't always flow in your house. Why? Because all you need to do is to flip the switch. All you need to do, I sound so motivational right now, yeah? All you need to do is to put on the tap. Yeah? Yeah? You have light in your house, but your room can remain dark for the next 20 years. What do you need to do? Flip the switch. Yeah? If I had to be a motivational person, that's a new, that'd be our topic on Sunday. Flip that switch. Yeah? So PHCN, for those of us that are not in Nigeria, it is the power holding company of Nigeria. You know, in Nigeria, we need people to actually hold our power. Yeah? So power holding company is what you must have known as NEPA. Yeah, so NEPA always supplies light to your room, but you don't always have light in your room because when you want to sleep at night, what do? You switch off. The same way you have an ability to switch off the light from shining in your room is the same way you have an ability to switch off the what? Flow of the Spirit. It's the same way you have an ability to stop the flow of the Spirit. So what do? Let it flow. Let it flow. Desire to see it flow. So don't pay your attention. Don't put your attention on, I'm saying the same thing. Don't put your attention on, what if I'm saying nonsense to God? No, a believer in Christ who chooses to speak in tongues will not say nonsense to God. Why? Because you have utterance. Hallelujah. So a believer, irrespective of his denomination, has an ability inside the gospel that he has received. There's an indwelling spirit he has. There's an ability of tongues. He says, he that believeth that is baptized shall come alive. This sign shall follow those who are now alive. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So every born again can speak in tongues, but not every born again speaks in tongues. Some of them is that they forbid, or some of them don't forbid. Altogether. So is it that they forbid in their knowledge, in their doctrine, in their slant, in the people they listen to? Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Look at it again. Wherefore, brethren? Look at it again. Ephesians and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. See, let me show you something. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, then come back there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Quickly go to 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Let's just peep there. Look at it. Paul says something in verse 33. I want you to pay attention to it. He says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. evil communication corrupts good manners. Now, let's assume we want to use that sieve to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Yeah, what is good manners? Covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. What can corrupt that good manner? Evil communication. Do you understand what I just said? I just did. Yeah, look at verse 39 of chapter 14 again. It says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Desire earnestly to flow in the things of the Spirit. Desire earnestly to flow in that with or the abilities of the Spirit. Yeah, he says, and forbid not. So it means that when you have friends around you who say things that negate the flow of the Spirit, what do? Evil communication corrupts good manners. What do? You step away. You create your boundaries. Yeah, when you have people always say, you deceive yourself. You jump saying nonsense. You say you are telling me. What do? You detach yourself from some people. Yeah, because by extension, you might not know they are forbidding you to speak in tongues. Yeah, you see, words have a way of playing with our minds. There's a way you will listen to things over and over and over again, and they influence subconsciously the actions and the things you do, even the things you believe. Yeah, let me show you an example. Look at Acts 2:4. Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 4. Look at Acts 2, verse 4. Acts 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began to speak with other tongues. Hold on, dear saints. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. At this point, was it when they believed the gospel, or they had believed the gospel prior to that? Go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Look at Luke in chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Yeah, infallible proofs is from scriptures. Being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining the kingdom of God. So, was it in Acts chapter 2 verse 4 where they believed the gospel? No. They had believed the gospel upon what? Teaching that Jesus had done. All together. Now, look at verse 8. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him in his sight, figure of speech. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, and he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go up in heaven. Then return they unto Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem on a Sabbath day journey. And when they were coming, they went up into the upper room, where abode both Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and what? Supplication. With the woman and what? Mary, the mother of Jesus. So there were women also there. So, this list you see in verse 13 and verse 14, what would that be? Brethren, those who are of the same nationality, those who have a commonality, the nation of God. Yeah? Now, so it means that they were already in a position, or their heart had already believed the gospel is alive. So Acts 2 verse 4. Now, okay. Acts 2 verse 4. Look at Acts 2 verse 4. In fact, before we go to Acts 2, look at John. Quickly, go to John. Let me show you something quickly in John. Look at John 20 verse 21. John 20 verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Yeah. So this is the narrative of what you see as going into the world, right? Yeah. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. You see, that word they breathed on them, it doesn't mean he blew breeze. He shall allow breeze to come out of his mouth. Yeah. And when he had said this, he breathed on them. Yeah. It's not like he called and said, No. The word breathed on them actually is a word that means to enliven or to supply an internal quickening. Yeah. He breathed on them is actually a figure of speech of what he said unto them. Yeah. So he now says what? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So now, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Would that be receive the Holy Ghost in reference to the fullness of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit? We looked at that on Sunday, right? Go back to Acts 2 quickly. Acts 2 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. We saw on Sunday that being full of the Holy Ghost is different from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Being full of the Holy Ghost is something you receive when you believe the gospel. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is an action that you do that people around you can see and be a partaker of or can witness. What could people see them do? They saw them speak. It's an action that was seen with the physical eyes of those who might not have believed the gospel. And they were filled with... So, if you see a group of people speaking in tongues, what do you say? Those are people who are full of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is the same thing. Ghost and Spirit is really just a switch of words, you know, and it's just a matter of dispensation and different times. Ghost now becomes Spirit. Yeah, but it is those are, if you see a group of believers speaking in tongues, it is that man who is full of the Holy Ghost now is being filled with the Holy Ghost. What does being filled with the Holy Ghost? That is, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, so what did Mark 16 say? Look at Mark 16 again. Look at Mark 16 again. Mark 16, verse 17. Look at Mark 16, 17. And this sign shall follow them that believe. That is, this sign shall follow them that are now alive unto God. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. So it means that what was said by Jesus that was to happen, happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. What did Jesus say? Because they are alive, they shall speak with new tongues. Go back to Acts 2. Acts 2, 4. Yeah. So, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it means that as at the day of Pentecost, before it came, they were already believers. Oh. Eh? They were already believers. Oh. They already attended 40 days teaching of Jesus. Oh. Yeah. So, at that time of day of Pentecost, they were already full of the Holy Ghost. Verse 4 now says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. And began to speak with other tongues. What did Jesus say? He that believeth me, in my name they shall what? Cast out devils and speak with new tongues. What does he that believeth me mean? He that is alive unto God by believing the gospel. What does he mean? So a good way to read Mark 16 verse 17 is what? Whosoever believeth me, in my name they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. What shall be filled with the Holy Ghost? They shall speak with tongues and give other demonstrations and give expressions to the ability of the Spirit in them. So Mark chapter 16 verse 16 has happened, or 17 rather. They began to speak with tongues. Other tongues. Arius tongues. Yeah. A tongue that is not associated with any already existing language. It is new tongues. See what Peter did. Look at Acts 2:14. Look at Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. Yeah, so this is Peter now, trying to explain what others were mocking. Yeah, he says, Peter standing up. Now, hold on. How many people were there when Jesus taught for 40 days? 120 people. How many days did Jesus teach for? 40 days. How many people did Jesus teach? 120 people. How do we know? Acts chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 shows us that it is 120 people that were there. So how many people spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, verse 4? When the day of Pentecost came, it is the 120 of them. They began to speak with tongues. Now, let me show you something quickly. Eh? When it says they began to speak in tongues, do you suppose it was instantly all of them began to speak in tongues, or it gradually gravitated into all of them? Yeah. Remember, evil communication corrupts good manners. So it means that we are all product of influences. So it means that you can be in the crowd and be among those who will mock the things that were happening. Yeah. You can be among those who can say, ah, I can do that. Jesus thought about that. So when he says they began to speak in tongues, yeah, it is not something like, it's not an echo they just began to all of a sudden together started echo. No. Most likely, even if it wouldn't be all of them that would have that, it might not have been all of them that started speaking in tongues. Yeah, gradually, you just realize that first five people started speaking in tongues, and before you know it, they saw that this is the promise of the prophet, Joel. And before you know it, some other people started saying, that's my brother. That's my brother. We are brethren. That's my brother. We are brethren. That's my brother. We are brethren. What does that mean? He's alive unto God. I'm alive unto God. What does that mean? I can do what he can do. What does that mean? It means that I have to covet prophesying and forbid not to speak in tongues. What does that mean? I need to give ability to the indwelling of the spirit in me. What does that mean? I flow. Yeah? So, 120 people were there when Jesus taught. 120 people after the end of the believers meeting partook in tongues. Yeah? And they all spoke. Then there were, so, think about it. People, 120 people in the temple, they spoke. Yeah. After they spoke, there was a crowd. Yeah. After there was a crowd, some heard their language amongst the crowd. Right. Some concluded in my mockery, or some concluded ended up mocking. Look at verse 13. Others mocking. Others mocking. So we had different group of people on that day of Pentecost. First group of people were what? The onlookers. Now, amongst the onlookers, we have onlookers A and onlookers B. All lookers A that were asking, what meaneth this? All lookers B that were asking, these men are full of wine, mocking. All lookers C, talking about how they were hearing the wonderful works of God, verse 11. Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. Now, we have the all lookers and we have the participators or participators. Yeah, those that participated. Yeah, who are those? 120 of them. So 120 of them partook in the prophecy of Joel. How do you know it's prophecy of Joel? Look at verse 14. What happened? What happened? Why do you suppose they spoke in tongues? It is a demonstration of the fact that you believe the gospel. You are now alive unto God. How do you know? Mark 16. He that believeth has come alive unto God. And with my name they shall cast out devils and what? Speak with new tongues. So it means that speaking in tongues is a demonstration of the name of Jesus. It's an ability, it's a sign that is seen to show that what? You believe the name of Jesus. It's a sign that shows that what? The name of Jesus is at work. Or there's something received about the name of Jesus, which is what? The indwelling of the Spirit with an ability. So look at verse 14 again. So remember, never forget, 120 people attended the meeting, prayer meeting. 120 people spoke in tongues. And it was a day of Pentecost. So people from other cities, yeah, when you see all those cities, yeah, look at them. When you see all those Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Elamite, and all of those things, yeah, when they say we do hear them speak our tongues, the wonderful works of God, it means that what? They were all people who understood Hebrew. So it means that what was happening in Acts 2 was more of what? Tongues and interpretation. So the reason why they could hear their wonderful works of God that was spoken is what? Because the people that were partaking in Acts 2:4, after speaking in tongues, interpreted the tongues. That's the mini believers meeting. Are we together? Yeah. Look at what Peter said in verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and said unto them, ye men of Judea. So Peter is saying, you people, there's something you need to know. There's something to know. How do you suppose Peter knew what he should tell them? He had already listened to Jesus' 40 days teaching. Are we together? But Peter, standing up with the 11, so amongst the 120, there were the 11, and there was Peter. Yeah, so Peter standing up, yeah, so when he says Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, not their voice. Do you understand? So it is Peter that stood up and lifted up his voice. Remember, look at John, look at John, look at John, look at John. John 21. John 1:21. Look at John 21, verse 15. John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas. So Simon's father's name was Jonas. So Simon bar Jonas. Yeah. Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than all this? He said unto them, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Yeah, feed my lambs. That is provide nourishment. He said unto him again the second time, yeah, you love me, feed my sheep. He said again to the other time, you love me, feed my sheep. Yeah, so provide nourishment, provide feeding, provide a meal. Yeah, that is provide doctrine. So what do you suppose Peter was doing in Acts chapter 12? Why do you suppose they allowed him? Jesus had given an instruction to Peter in the midst of them. If you love me, feed my sheep. So he had a responsibility from Jesus. So it is expected. So if Peter did not stand up in Acts 2:14, he was following Jesus' hand. Jesus would be saying, oh God, you're following me. And I told you, feed my sheep. Yeah, and I told you, give them the word. So Peter standing up with the 11 lifted up his voice and he said unto them, his voice, not their voice. They stood up in support with him, but he lifted up his voice. Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem. Yeah, why do you call them men of Judea? Look at it. Don't be confused. Men of Judea simply means that is where they most likely were from. And that was why they were hearing the wonderful works of God in their tongues in verse 11. Because the people that attend the day of Pentecost are those associated with what? Judea, Jerusalem. So, and all you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. So it means that when it says ye men of Judea, that will cover all the Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, Libya, Cyrene, Mesopotamia, and all of those cities that he mentioned in verse 8 to 11. Yeah, it will cover it to be that these people are of the same ethnicity. Yeah, that is why they could hear the wonderful works of God in the interpretation of the tongues of the saints. So Peter said, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my word. So listen to what I have to say. So 120 people were participating in a supernatural experience. Peter amongst them with the 11 stood up, and Peter said, listen, something is happening. Listen, you see the supernatural experience, there is something that's happening. Listen. So what do you think Peter said? So now, see what Peter did in verse 15. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Yeah, third hour of the day, we mean by 9 a.m. So it means that they had the believers meeting most likely from about 6 a.m. Yeah, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, verse 1. It means 6 a.m. Yeah, they were all with one accord. So at 6 a.m., they had met in their meeting room. Yeah. At 6 a.m. they had met. At 9 a.m. they had quickly done a believers meeting. Yeah, what is he now saying? For these are not drunken, as he supposed, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. So where was Peter's mind in trying to explain the supernatural experience that just happened? Prophet Joel. So remember, like I said on Sunday, yeah, we looked at something on Sunday, which is what we'll pay attention to today. Not today, maybe in our next teaching. Yeah, Peter said something. Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the Prophet Joel. Paul says something in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, 21. He says what? It is written in the law. Yeah? We looked at that on Sunday, Isaiah 28. Yeah? So Peter explained the supernatural experience from scriptures. They're saying that's instructive. It means that we submit our supernatural experience to the written word of God. The written word of God has a final authority over every and any supernatural experience. Yeah, what does the word say? What does the word teach? What does the word teach? What does Bible interpretation say? What does proper Bible exegesis teach? We have to pay attention to it. See, Peter did not say, look at all of you. Look at all of you. See, we are those who are now alive. We are those who are full of the Spirit. We are those who ascended to the third heaven. We are those. No. He said, it is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. So it means that we can locate what happened in the writings of the prophet. It means that you can pinpoint that which was happening to something the prophet had prophesied. Hallelujah. So tongues and interpretation, or speaking in tongues, for instance, as based in Acts chapter 2, did not come from thin air. It was something already taught and prophesied before it happened. Are we together? Yeah? And it shall come to pass in the last day. So it starts quoting Joel. So Peter is explaining what happened on the day of Pentecost, having scriptures as his background. Who else do you expect him to look like? His master in Luke 24, after he saw the unbelief in the hearts of men, he says what? And they said unto him, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Rather, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophet had said. So Jesus took them back to the prophet. Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus' resurrection from the dead, is that a supernatural activity? Yes, it is. It is a miraculous miracle. Are we together? Yeah, Jesus' resurrection from the dead is a miracle. How did Jesus explain the miracle? And beginning at Moses and the prophet, he expounded unto them the things concerning what just happened. So, look at it. There was a supernatural experience in Luke 24. When did Jesus take them to explain? Moses to Malachi. There is a supernatural experience in Acts 2. What did Peter do? Joel. So tongues interpretation is properly spelled out and properly taught, so you can teach tongues interpretation if you have Genesis to Malachi alone. Because all that Peter had to teach it was Genesis to Malachi, having listened to the 40 days teaching of Jesus. Are we together? So, but this is that. So it means that no matter the miracle that happens, it points to that miracle. The miracle of the new birth. The miracle of the resurrection. The miracle of being alive unto God. Hallelujah. So this is that which was spoken by Prophet Joel. What did Prophet Joel say? It shall come to pass. So at the time when Joel was talking, Joel said, it shall come to pass, saith the Lord. So when he say it shall come to pass in the last day, saith the Lord. What does it mean? An utterance that was given from the lips of Prophet Joel. Yeah, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So it means that Joel is explaining that what you see, remember in verse 14, he says, Be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Let this be known unto you and listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, Joel already said that God said he will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh. Yeah, so we can locate what was happening in the writings of Joel. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and on my handmaid, I will pour out in those days my spirit, that is, they shall prophesy. So all those, I will pour out. It means that they will be filled with the Holy Ghost. It means that there will be an action that is seen. Are we here? That's it. Yeah. So when he says my young son, he's not saying only sons will see vision. Only the old men will see, will dream dreams. The only servants are, think about it, man. Imagine you want to see, you want to hear from God. You have to go and say, you have to go and listen to your house girl first. You have to listen to your house boy first. Yeah. And on my servants and on my heart may say, I'm employing you to worship place. But anytime I need to hear from God, come. Yeah. Because Bible says it. I wouldn't be surprised that people are like that. You can easily misinterpret Acts 2:18. Eh? My servant and my handmaid, I will pour out all those things. No. Now, look at verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Verse 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Guess what? So it means that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved is the end goal of what? Prophet Joel's prophet and Peter's teaching. Are we here? Let me say that again. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what did Peter begin to do? Peter began to use that sign, which is tongues that was seen physically unto by the onlookers, to explain what? The resurrection. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It means that it would have believed the gospel. So Jesus said, this sign shall follow them. Peter says, these signs you are seeing, Jesus told us to follow us, but it's a sign. Sign that what? Points to the resurrection. That points to salvation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? Let's draw a cut in here. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Until I come your way again, Friday, 7 p.m., remain joyful, stay prayerful, stay, powerful of God's power. I love you all. Cheers.